See a silent prayer. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we commence our family altar for this evening. Let's sing hymn 224. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. Lord, Holy Spirit, revival comes from thee. Send a revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares, thou wilt supply our need. For blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead. We give thanks to our Lord Jesus. So for this evening's family altar, we shall read together Psalms 7. Psalms 7. Psalm 7, in the name of Jesus, I read, O Lord, my God, in you do I take refuge. Save me from all my pursuers and deliver me. Lest like a lion they tear my soul apart, rending it in pieces with none to deliver. O Lord, my God, if I have done this, if there is wrong in my hands, if I have repaid my friend with evil, or plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it. Let him trample my life to the ground and lay my glory in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up against the fury of my enemies. Awake for me, you have appointed a judgment. Let the assembly of the peoples be gathered about you, over it to return on high. 8. The Lord judges the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, and according to the integrity that is in me. Oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, and you may you establish the righteous. You who test the minds and the hearts, O righteous God. 10. My shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. If a man does not repent, God will whet his sword. He has bent and readied his bow. He has prepared for him his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, the wicked man conceives evil and is pregnant with mischief and gives birth to lies. 15. He makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole that he has made. His mischief returns upon his own head, and on his own skull his violence descends. I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord the Most High. So in Psalms 7, here the Hebrew title reads in this way: A Meditation of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush, a Benjamite. And in the New King James Version, it says it is a Shigayon of David, where this is translated as a meditation. And this word can only be found in the book of Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 1, where at that time it was probably due to the accusation of Shimei against David in 2 Samuel chapter 16 verse 5, or is it towards the slander of Saul against David? And most likely this Cush a Benjamite was simply another party of Saul that was against David. Therefore, in this psalm, it contains both the cry of David out of anguish and a shout of confidence in the deliverance of God. So in the first part, we can see that David actually pleaded for deliverance. Why do we say so? In verse 1 and 2, he trusted in the Lord God to make this plea. Therefore, he says, O Lord my God, in you do I take refuge. Or in certain versions, it says, in you I put my trust. So when David was under the attack from Cush the Benjamite, all he could trust was only God. And every other support was gone, but he needed no other support. And he asked that the Lord would deliver him. So the strength of God sometimes is evident, especially in helping us to go through a period of trial. Other times it is also evident in delivering us from these difficulties or so-called trial. So David was persuaded that the Lord God would deliver him from this trial. For at that time he was being slandered, it is indeed a severe trial that David was going through. So in verse 2 he says, lest they tear me like a lion. For David at that time believed there would be grave consequences if he were not delivered from these lion-like enemies. So this type of understanding gave David a sense of urgency in his prayer. Where God sometimes allow these difficult circumstances so that they will awaken this sort of urgency in him. And then from verses 3 to 5, this was the plea of innocence by David. Where in verse 3, O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is wrong with my hands. So if there is any wrong that he has done. So with these words, David did not claim that he was sinless in perfection, but rather he knew he just rejected the idea that he was equally immoral to between himself and the enemies. And he also said, let the enemy pursue me and overtake me. For he knew that his enemies were looking for his defeat, but yet he was confident in his own righteousness in comparison to these people, that he was willing to be given over to their desire if they were in the right. And then from verses 6 to 7, this was the righteous judgment of the Lord, where in verse 6 and 7, he pleaded for the righteous intervention of our Lord. He asked that the Lord to arise, O Lord, in your anger, for he believed that God was a person who had this type of anger. And he believed that this anger of God would be angry for him, or instead of going against him. This is the nature of the Lord. And he asked that the Lord to lift himself up against the fury of his enemy. For David believed that God was for him and God would stand up for his cause. Therefore, he actively prayed for the accomplishment of what he believed God's will be. And continue to see, for their sake, therefore he asked God to return on high. David's prayer at that time for protection and vindication was not fundamentally selfish. He knew that his faith was vitally connected to the welfare of the people of God. For it was there for their sake, for the sake of the people. Then from verse 8 to 10, this was the defense of David. Where the Lord shall judge the peoples, he asked that, O Lord, to judge him. So this was the attitude that protected David from presumption, where he honestly invited the judgment and the correction of God. So therefore, David at that time asked for the blessings of God according to his righteousness, according to his integrity that was within him. In fact, at that time he prayed, Lord, to the extent that I am righteous before you, may you bless me and protect me from my enemies. So David at that time, he longed for justice. It wasn't that he wanted any ultimate or perfect judgment before God, but he looked for justice on the earthly level, that between him and all these people who accuse or even who slander against him. And he asked that the wickedness of this wicked would come to an end, and may the Lord too establish the righteous. So this reveals more of the heart of David's prayer. More than anything, he just prayed to God so that God will be just. He did not pray for any special favoritism with God. He prayed that God will be just and to search out his own heart to help him. This is what David was doing. He searched his heart to help him put him right before God. And he knew that his defense was of God, because David knew he was at a significant disadvantage before these people, before his enemies, and only his reliance was in the Lord God. Then from verses 11 to 13, this describes that our Lord God is a just or a righteous judge. So David's prior appeal to God, it was made him think of the justice of God. So he knew very well of this fundamental principle that God was indeed a just judge. So this is actually the understanding of David towards the Lord God himself, that God is indeed a just one. Sometimes we feel that it is very difficult or easy to understand the justice of God if we were to compare with what we expect from an earthly judge. We do not think it is right or good if a human judge excuses crime in the name of compassion. We expect judges to be just, yet many are absolute confident that God will just be an unjust judge on the day of judgment. They are so confident, so they mistakenly rely on this idea of salvation. But David knew the truth that God was indeed a just judge. For the Lord is angry with the wicked. And then the Lord will also, he also says, the Lord will sharpen his sword and he will bend his bow and make it ready. So here David considered the readiness of God to judge the sinner. He saw that the sword was sharpened and the bow bent. So with God so ready to judge, the sinner should not presume that God will delay his judgment. So today, when God delays his judgment, many people will make a fatal error by saying that this mercy means that God is not concerned with justice. Instead, one should ask, why should God hold back the immediate application of justice? Is it because that the sinner is not really guilty? That the law is not clear? Or is it that mankind really deserves such mercy? Or is it that God is not really powerful enough to bring justice, or God is not just? None of this is true. Instead, the sword is sharpened and the bow is bent. The only thing that holds back the immediate judgment of God against the sinner is the undeserved mercy of God, giving the sinner an unknown period of time to repent. Therefore, the real reason for any apparent delay in the judgment of God. So we can see God actually waiting for the sinner to turn back to repent. Therefore, this delay is actually an expression of the love of God for this sinner. Then from verse 14, we can see the resolution of this matter, where the wickedness of the wicked is made known. So we can see the wicked brings forth iniquity. So we can see that a wicked heart will show itself in its deeds, and he conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. So this shows the source of sin that is from within the sinner, where the sinner will conceive and give birth to sin, just like a mother who gives birth to his children from within. And then from verses 15 and 16, so now God will deal with the wicked, where this is a common way of how God will act in justice. And he will bring about the same calamity on the wicked that he had planned for the righteous. For God is righteous. So the way of the wickedness will not prosper. It will create its own destruction. And even the pit that is digged is the grave of the man who digs it. And his violent dealing will come upon his own people. Just like in the story of Haman, when he fell at the enemy of Mordecai and the Jews, or even the enemies of Daniel when they were in the lion's den. And lastly, verse 17, this was a response that David gave in praise to the Lord, where he says, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord the Most High. So David was wise enough to praise God according to his righteousness and not his own. Even though David appealed to God on this psalm on the basis of his comparative goodness, this was not a self-righteous prayer, for he knew there was a difference between his own righteousness and the praiseworthiness and the perfect righteousness of God. And finally, he ended this psalm by singing praise to the name of the Lord God Most High. So David actually ended this psalm on a high note of praise, even though he began this psalm with gloom, but at the end, he was able to praise because he took this course to God, and in faith, he left it over there. So now we shall reserve the remaining time for our prayer. So in our prayer, we continue to ask our Lord Jesus Christ to preserve each and every one of us. Shall we now, in one accord, in the name of Jesus, kneel down to pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah.
God, titi. Hallelujah. Let us recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our family altar for this evening shall end here. God bless.